Well, let's stand for a minute. We're going to read several different passages of Scripture this evening as we finish up on the family. And we're going to take it a little different direction this evening, and it'll apply really to life in general, but I want us to understand this tonight. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll read three passages. We'll read a passage in Proverbs. We'll read two verses. We'll read a verse in Proverbs, two verses in Psalms, and then we'll read a couple in 2 Corinthians. Of course, we understand what we said from week number one at the beginning of the summer, which seems like just a couple weeks ago, but summer's over. I told my wife when we were coming back from Filipino family camp, I said, man, just summer's went by fast. She goes, because when you get old, time goes by fast. I'm like, okay, thank you for that. I was encouraged. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. She thinks I'm old. I'm married to a grandmother. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm a grandfather, so too bad she's not in patch tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep is really guard. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. We'll read verse 44. Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 44. Psalm 119, verse 44. Says this, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. We'll read a several verses there, and then we'll pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 14. 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now these are all those questions where there's the answer's already implied. I forget the name of the question, but these are all questions where the answer's already known that none, really, there isn't any. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this evening. I pray in this short time we look together at this subject, Lord, that you'd help us to see the importance of it, help us to see the guidelines that we must take, and Lord, help us to see the danger behind what we'll talk about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've talked much about the family, and we've mentioned, of course, over and over the title of the series is It's Never Too Late for Happily Ever After, and that's what God wants for us. But tonight I want to look at some outside influences that can creep into a family, and these influences can start to destroy that family. These influences can start to cut away at the family and cause some very, very horrific issues if we're not careful. These influences will attack individuals. These influences can also ruin relationships. These set of verses don't specifically, I'm not going to tell you the subject for a minute because I just don't feel like it. You'll get it in a second. This is the introduction. These verses don't specifically speak about this particular topic, but they give principles that are very, very tightly woven into the safeguards that we need to take tonight. We saw the verse in Proverbs, be careful to guard our hearts. We got to be careful about what gets into our heart. Because once something gets into our heart, we have a hard time controlling the actions that it creates in us. In other words, whatever gets into our mind will come out in our actions. That's just how it works. And so we can't control how what we allow in our minds affects our actions, but we can control what gets into our mind. That's where the battle is fought. If you put a bunch of junk in your mind, it's going to cause a junky lifestyle. So what's the cure? Don't let the junk in your mind. That's the cure. Fight the battle at the front end. In Psalms, he kind of talks about what true freedom is. I will walk at liberty. I will be free to do, to have that liberated lifestyle. How does he walk at liberty? How is that free lifestyle attained? I keep thy precepts. Sounds almost contradictory. He says, the way I have liberty in my life, freedom and joy, the way I get that is by doing what God tells me to do. Now, we think that's not freedom. It's like, well, wait a minute. You're living these laws and you're living these precepts. And I know, that's where freedom comes from. We think freedom comes from doing whatever we want, but freedom comes from avoiding things that would entrap us. And so we walk at liberty within the confines of what God's word says. When we get outside of those confines, that's where the danger is. And then in Corinthians, we use these verses to talk about what we call separation. Separating from individuals specifically here, but you could apply it to things also, which would be opposed to God. And so we need to be very careful about that. There are certain things that don't mix. You know, if you're a hardcore Christian and all you ever hang around is a bunch of unsaved people that are doing ungodly things, you won't be a hardcore Christian for very long. There's no agreement there. Say, well, I'm trying to reach them for the Lord. Bring them to church. Get a couple of your buddies who are godly and take them out to eat. Don't just go hang out with them. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Now, with these general principles, and they're kind of general in a sense, but you'll get where I'm going in a minute. In our society, as I think it through, what has become one of the greatest hindrances to our faith, or could be a great hindrance to our faith in our walk with God? What is it in the time in which we live? And what this thing is, we'll talk about, it's not going away anytime soon. It's not. And to be honest with you, in and of itself, there's nothing inherently evil in it. But if we're not careful, it creates undesired results in our life, particularly our spiritual life. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about technology and media. It's a killer. It's not something we had to deal with a long time ago. It's not something that's going away. Now, before we get into it, you're not listening to someone tonight that's, you know, I'm not a technophobe. I'm not afraid of technology. I'm not afraid of new stuff. Fact of the matter is, I use it. I've always used the technology. I'm not afraid of it. I've always liked it. I remember my first computer. We went to visit my mother-in-law on vacation. I think it was early 90s, might have been the late 80s. And she gave me an old Atari computer. I say, wow, how impressive. Well, not really. It didn't have a hard drive. Okay? It had these big paper discs. And if you wanted to run a program, you had to put the paper in. But the paper didn't run the program. You turn on the computer and it came up what was called a DOS prompt. How many remember those? It said something, something, C dash, boom, and you had to type in a command to get it to look at the floppy drive. And they had this book. It was about the size of the Bible. And you had to, like, I remember I turned it on and said, I'm going to learn how to use this thing. And it had a little program there, and it was how to make a banner, just a little piece of paper banner that said, like, happy birthday or happy anniversary. It took, like, 3 hours to figure out how to do that thing. It wasn't very technologically savvy. We started off with that. How many of you remember the church? In the early days, the church had we started out with an Apple computer. I don't know, probably the only one that remember that is Mrs. Esposito. We had an old Apple Macintosh, a little square box with a little screen on there. It had a 20 megabyte hard drive. Okay, that was, I mean, it's 20 megabyte. You can't do anything with that nowadays. But we had that little computer, and it didn't have the DOS prompt. It had the little window screen, and it was kind of a neat thing. How many of you remember pagers? Come on, man, pagers. Little box, and you put a little thing on here, and you'd zzz, 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 and you look at it, and you press the button, and, you know, 562-894-7364 called you. You had to go find a phone somewhere and call them because they didn't have cell phones, all right? And we had pagers, and remember, cell phones. One of the first cell phones I had, because we had our own business, so I had to have a pager and a cell phone. It was called a little mini brick. It was this little ugly gray thing. You turned it upside down, it looked like a little boat. It went like this, and the little thing flipped down. The battery only lasted for about 40 minutes. So you had to leave the cell phone off. You couldn't leave it on. And I'd had to have the pager. So if someone contacted me when I was out and about on a business run, I'd get the little, and I'd get my little pager, and it's like, this number called me, and I'd set the pager down. I'd grab my phone, and I would turn the phone on and wait for it to boot up, and then I would call, you know. That's back when cell phones were actually for telephone calls. Okay, you know, what was texting? We didn't even know what texting was back then. All those things. I remember when I got a Palm Pilot. I love that thing. I had some kind of emotional attachment. It was so cute and fit in your pocket, and I used it, and I had my calendar on there, and I had my to-do list and contacts, and you could email with it as long as you plugged it into your computer. Okay, it didn't have any of that stuff. But all these different things. I like technology. I was at Brother Bichardo's church in February. My wife wanted to get a manicure, a pedicure, all those cured things cured, you know, toenails, fingernails, you name it. She got it fixed. And so, yeah, we got away for a few days, and she wanted to do that, and that's the last thing I wanted to do, okay? You're not touching my toenails, my fingernails. You're not touching any nail, all right? If you want a nail, grab a hammer and have a good time, but no, we're not doing that. So I dropped her off, and I went to the computer, the Museum of Computer History, and I'm looking over. There's my Palm Pilot I had. And then, you know, I don't know if you remember this, software used to come in a box. And it had all these little gray discs, like 20 of them. And you'd have to install them all one at a time. And then it came with a book that literally was as thick as a dictionary to teach you how to use the software. Now you just download it online. It's intuitive. But all that stuff. So when I'm talking tonight, you're not talking to someone that's, you know, like computers are bad and all this stuff and all that. I'm not a technophobe. But having said that, I understand the dark side. I understand the danger that's inherent in technology. We got to be very careful. As I think of our technology today, and I was thinking about this, I'm glad that when I was an unsaved, ungodly teenager, that they didn't have the technology that we have today. My biggest problem was Robert Ramirez. Okay, just kidding. I didn't hang around him that much. But look, I could imagine, I could have gotten a lot more trouble if I had that access to that kind of stuff, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. But it's here. I mean, we can't avoid it. It's part of life. It's part of most of you where you work and all these different things. So we need to be very careful with it, particularly in our families. Our children growing up, it's part of society. So let me share three sets of principles under three different headings tonight. And I'll go briefly. We'll get out of here about 6 and we'll go to family night and you'll eat and have a great time. First of all, I want to give you some principles of faith that are involved with technology we need to understand. By the way, here's a good principle to live by. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, that's what I say and in my actions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's a good life principle to live by. If we follow that, we're going to be okay. But it just seems that when people get in technology, they violate that verse 100 times over. What are some principles of faith we need to beware of? Well, first, we need to beware of focusing on self. It just seems like today's technology, today especially our media, is just driven to feed that selfish flesh that we have that wants to focus on ourselves. Technology just feeds that like never before. The Bible tells us the opposite of that is humility. James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Pride is when I'm always right, everything's about me, and God says, no, that's not who gets grace, it's those who are humble. Life isn't about them. It's not wrapped up in themselves. And it just seems that our technology, particularly our social media, everything is about us. We need to be aware of that. Most of us are like narcissists. Narcissus was a Greek character, and he was said to be very, very beautiful. Not that I think guys are beautiful, all right? But this is Greek mythology. And he was said to be very beautiful, and that's back before they had mirrors. And one day, Narcissus was walking by, and he saw a pool of water on the ground, and as he walked by, he caught a glimpse of himself. And he was mesmerized by his own beauty and sat there and stared at himself until he died. That's kind of how we are now. Our whole life is about us. Spend hours online, hours doing all these things that relate to nothing more than myself. Be very, very careful that you don't get focused on yourself. And I'm not going to talk about selfies. We've talked about all that stuff. But everything winds up around me. Also, we need to beware of becoming critical of others. Proud, Proverbs 21:24 says, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Most of us wouldn't go up to somebody and personally say something to them. But why is it when we pull out our phone or we get behind a keyboard, is it okay to say nasty things about people? Why is that okay? Why is it okay to be overly critical and overly mean just because I'm hiding behind a computer screen? You go on these little things, and I don't do them, but, you know, they'll have a something, and then everybody can discuss it down, and people are just mean. They're rude. And that person probably wouldn't act like that face-to-face to somebody, but behind the anonymity of a computer screen or a telephone or a cell phone, they'll be just flat out critical. You know, being critical is wrong. I don't care how you do it. The Bible's still true. We're not supposed to just get up and say mean things and be mean to people. And by the way, don't take your problems with somebody online. Well, let me just tell you about so-and-so. They did this to me. Listen, let me just say this. If you're ever reading any of that garbage, when somebody is taking their problem with somebody else public, just assume they're the ones that are wrong. Why are they taking it public? That's not the Christian thing to do. You know what the Christian thing to do is? You talk to the brother face to face and you get it right. You don't run online and try to rally people to your side. And by the way, you're only hearing one side of the story and it's usually puffed up. But it's not right to be critical just because you're on the internet. Another principle of faith, beware of inappropriate relationships. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. We live in flesh. There are certain sinful desires we have. Physical needs, emotional needs, you name it. God has designed a way for those needs to be met in a marriage relationship. What we do is we go online and we start connecting with someone we shouldn't be connecting with. Someone starts texting us because sometimes they may have a legitimate reason to text us, but then it starts to go a little south. You got to be very, very, very careful. Everything has got to be above board. Now, I don't know how the staff feels about this, but a lot of times when they text me, they get one-word answers, two-word answers. They'll give me some long, hey, what do you think of this? Fine. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you. I'm not going to get into a dialogue. Now, if I need to say something, I'll say something. But listen, I have to text this person at work, and they're a person of the opposite sex. Hey, you don't let them get too close to you. Don't let them get a little, don't let them cross that line. Hey, you look good today. If someone of the opposite gender at work were to text you and say, you look good today, here's your standard reply. Drop dead. I'll tell my husband you said so. See, oh, it's just that I would be embarrassed. I would rather be embarrassed than start letting my heart float that way. And by the way, if you don't respond to it correctly the first time, people are emboldened to say more. You got to shut that down right now. Because you say, oh, I'm happily married. That's not a big deal to me. But then they start trying to win your heart over, especially you ladies. Man, you're dumb too. Another way. Oh, she smells so good. Listen, she flies a broom too. I shouldn't have said that because I'm not saying ladies. Oh, but she's so much nicer than my... He's so much nicer than my husband. Not when you marry him. Okay? Relationships take a lot of work. You see them at their best, and they're trying to reel you in. Don't let that happen. Be very careful. Technology, I don't know how, you know, it started in the early days with email. People started emailing their old friends and this and that. Listen, you don't need to know who your old friends are unless you're trying to email them the gospel. That's great. You know, and then it's this, and then you try to connect with them on this. How are you doing? And by the way, if you were close to somebody in the past, don't even look for them. All those old things are going to come up again. Beware. Inappropriate relationships. Our society is basically based on immorality now. Just like the old time Bible days. That website was just hacked. By the way, if you are on there, I hope they release the names. Ashley Madison. A website that helps married people have affairs together. Because a married people don't want to get busted. All of it's online. Flee youthful lust. Next, beware of wrong associations. Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's easy to connect with people who don't know God. People that are, and you'll be swayed by their, and by the way, I have found this, when someone wants to argue stuff, you know, they throw stuff out there you can't prove, it's not true. Well, what about this? What about, yeah. Look, let me go research that and I'll find your fallacy. But we allow these people, and we allow that influence to come into our life, and we got to be very, very careful. It's all over the place. Be careful. Now, I gave you some principles of faith. Let's switch gears for a minute. I want to give you some principles for the family. Here are some things you should just, and these are just common sense things. I'm trying to give you some common sense things. That'll help us. Principles for the family. Number one, computers must be in the open. Okay? Must be in the open. We have the Apple computer that's like, it's a computer and a screen, a big screen. Is it iMac? The big one? We have an iMac. Right there. A lot of you have been to our house this summer. We've had all the different classes over. If you didn't get to come, man, I'm sorry you didn't get to come. We had a great time. But right there, if you know our house, a big U, that's where all the family's always hanging out. Right there's the computer where everybody can see it. Right there. Not hidden. Oh, but my little Johnny wants to have a computer in his bedroom. Then tell Johnny to go get a job, get married, rent his own place, and then he can buy his own computer and put it wherever he wants. Okay? There's stuff on there. I'm just telling you, there's stuff on there. You're not careful. We have a daycare, and this was many, many years ago. Our computer was right in the open. Usually it was off. And we keep the daycare kids off of it. Well, most of them are small. They wouldn't know how to grab a computer anyhow. It's off during the day. But at that time, it was on one time, and later on, Allison was doing some homework. And you know, like you start to type in a computer address. You know, you type it in, and if you had an old computer address, it starts to come up. If the first couple of letters are the same, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And Allison got on there, and she started to type a couple letters, and she stopped. She goes, Dad, you need to see this. And she didn't quite understand what it was, but I did. I looked at that thing. I'm like, that's a bad website. Where'd that come from? We found out there was a girl there. She was about 8, 9. It was 1 minute. No one was there, and the computer happened to be on, and she ran over there and typed in that website. Someone gave it to her at school. You say, my kid would never go. You'd be surprised what kids are suckered into. Okay? That thing's got to be monitored in the open. Don't worry. It's going to get worse from here. Especially if you're a teenager, you will not like me tonight. Next, teenagers should not have social media. You say, well, that's going to be a tough one. Wait till I get a couple more points down and I'll make it a lot easier for you. But teenagers should not be on social media. Because at that age, teenagers are prone to, if you're not careful, they're prone to getting hooked into something and not controlling it. And so we're teaching them early to get hooked to something that's not right, and make that a real heavy part of their life. They're not ready for it. Fact of the matter, most adults aren't, but we're not going there. Be very careful. By the way, if you're in our school or you think you're going to be in our school this semester, you cannot have a social media site. You can't be on social media. Okay? That's a rule we have. Say, why? Do you hate us? No. We're just trying to be careful. Right. By the way, let me say this. Pastor used to always say this when he talked about media. Like, listen, if you're in my office and you talk to the people I talk to, you'd know why I say this. I know. He's right. He's right. Whenever something horrific is happening in a teenager, it's involved. It's involved. And parents, let's not stick our head in the sand. Okay, you say, well, how am I going to get my teenagers to stay off social media? Well, let me give you the next principle. Teens should not have cell phones. They don't need it. Our kids don't get cell phones until they're out of high school. You say, but what about when they're teenagers, they're on activities, or they're doing this, or at a ball game, you want to get a hold of them? Exactly. I call Brother Ross. You say, but Brother Ross didn't go on the activity. I know, I just want to irritate him. Can I just tell you something, parents? I want to put your hearts at ease tonight. If your children go on an activity with ours, there's plenty of adults on there, and they all have cell phones. Everything's going to be okay. They don't need a cell phone. I'm telling you, the teenagers that get in bad trouble, it's on that cell phone. There are stuff I have seen, and I don't want to see it. Somebody got in trouble, and I had the cell phone, and I'm starting to read it, and I had to put it down. I'm like, that's bad. They were communicating back and forth, and I know where that kid got that from. I'm like, I couldn't read it. I'm like, I got to stop. I've seen enough to know they're in trouble. And by the way, we have no trouble calling the police. You little high school girls, and you get, he's a little older. Yeah, we find out about it, we'll call the police if he's over 18 and you're under 18. Okay, I'm just saying, they don't need to have one. This isn't going over very well, but I'm telling you, you don't need to have one. Save that money. Our kids have always been heavily involved in everything the church does. They've went to the camps. They go to everything, Brother Bichardo. They don't need a cell phone. We can get in contact with them. They're okay. You say this, that's not a problem with my child. Take the telephone test. Say, give me your cell phone for 2 months and see what happens. You're going to have world, what was it? Someone told, I said, we've said something, and someone said there was a kid, I think it was in Chicago, his grandmother tried to take his phone away from him, and he was going to shoot her. Now, I'm not saying your kid's going to shoot you, but I'm saying if you don't think it's an issue, you try to take that phone away from them. You see what happens. They'll be okay. Look, let them be teenagers. Be with the youth group. Be on the youth group with the other teenagers. Isn't everybody sitting around like this? Back in the day, teenagers, you may not understand this. When we communicated with one another, we used a little thing we call words. We talked. If I wanted to see Robert, I went to his house. I called him up. We talked. We did things. Okay? Cell phones. Okay. Next, we already said this. Everything should be in the open. The telltale sign that something is wrong with somebody or in a relationship, if it's an adult and you're married, is when they get secretive about you seeing their phone. Let me see your phone right now. Let me read your text. What, you don't trust me? Strike one. You don't need to look at my phone. I'm not doing anything wrong. Strike two. If there's nothing going on, take a look at it. Kids get in trouble and we find their phone, say, let us look at your phone. Okay. Let's look at the browse history. Everything should be in the open. If you're trying to hide things, why? I have found that people that don't have anything to hide don't hide anything. That was pretty good. It's probably the only good thing I've ever said. Next, no hiding in the room with technology. My little boy just wants to go do this. No. out in the open. Well, they were going to do it out in the open. You say, why? You don't trust them? Nope. No, I don't. They're not adults. I mean, come on. You say, why don't you trust? Because I was a kid once. I was a teenager once. That's scary when you think about that, isn't it? It's like, oh, I hope my kids aren't like me. Here's one. This won't be popular, but pray for me. I'm not trying to be mean. Be careful with children and earbuds. Your whole life doesn't need to be spent walking around with earbuds on. And by the way, if you're going to do that, you might as well learn sign language. How's someone going to communicate with you? Our kids don't do that. They really don't. I can't think of them ever really doing that unless they're working. Sometimes they're cleaning, doing something at the house, and they'll put earbuds in. They don't just walk around the house with earbuds. And I don't know if I've ever just made it a rule. We've just never done it. When you're home, you're with your family. Okay? It's just every time they get in a car and drive somebody, where they got to tune out. You know, our car, our last few cars, but our Suburban, it has a DVD player. In fact, I think it has two screens, right? Two screens? We never, ever turn that on unless we're taking a long trip. I don't want the kids getting in the habit of every time we get in the car, they got to watch something. Really? We're going to the grocery store, man. Do what we used to do in the caveman days. Talk. Now, while we're going on vacation, that's good for me. Watch something, all of you. And we got these little, that we let them use the headphones on vacation. We have these headphones that are Wi-Fi. I think they're wireless. And they all put headphones on, and they'll watch something, and it's quiet in the car. I love that. Like, y'all be quiet, I'll drive, just leave me alone, okay? And let me listen to what I'm listening to, Snoop Dogg or whatever. But listen, always tuning out. Don't let them tune you out. Be part of the group. Be part of the family. I fear that our group growing up today doesn't know how to interact with each other and the joy of just relationships and not FaceTime and not texting. Really, I'm talking about talking to people, enjoying being in each other's company. And the last thing is this, in this set, we'll give you a couple more, we're done. Be careful who you follow and what you like. Okay? I've followed relatives before, Brother Joseph, and I stopped following them. Oh, that's my niece. My niece posts garbage. She's done. I don't send her a text. You're of the devil. I'm not following you. I just slowly delete her. You're done. I don't want to see that stuff. And you know, sometimes when I'm on vacation, I have a few minutes. And I shouldn't do this, but Bichardo, it kills me. And I'll just like, you know, you kind of look, and I have one social media. I do Instagram. That's it. And I'll just look, hey, what did so-and-so like that picture? Are you serious? That's godless. Okay? Like good stuff. Okay? Like little John falling asleep and falling over on his head in the wedding. That's funny. Like that. Don't like your niece running around in her bikini. Okay, that didn't go very far. It's called discernment. By the way, you want your kids to say, hey, Dad, how come you like that? Isn't that godless? Well, if I don't like their pictures, they won't like mine. You know how many people's pictures I like when I look at the Instagram? I'll look every couple days. I'll just feel, you know, good. That was great. I don't like anybody's picture. Occasionally, the grandchild gets one. Oh, that was good. Click, click. Jason gets one today. I'm not going to like your photos. I think they're funny. I think you look funny. Just kidding. I think I look funny. Be careful. Just because you're online doesn't mean we don't have to have discernment about who we follow. Would I hang around with that person? It's just, let's be careful, okay? All right. Number three, let me just give you some general principles to follow. And we're done. We'll go have family night, and the teenagers won't shake my hand. Be cautious of the new. Now, I didn't say necessarily we reject it. But sometimes new stuff comes out, everybody jumps to the next social media app, and they jump from here to here to here, and some of that stuff is bad. You might want to hold back a little bit and see what's going on. You know, I remember pastor would preach on pagers, and it was true. All the teenagers, you'd have this teenager, you know, and he'd be walking around church with a pager. I'm like, what do you have a pager for? I mean, you're in eighth grade, you know? It's like, and pastor used to joke around and say, what, is your sister going to call you just so people think you're important? Okay? But all these different things, the internet. People were leery of the internet. Now, we use it, and there's safeguards you can take, but be very, very cautious. We use it, but be very careful. Don't just automatically buy into something that comes out. Might want to wait and see what's going on and see if there's anything negative about it. Because some things are negative. Make sure that everything you do is age appropriate, of course. Next, if you can't control it, kill it. If you're a man and you've had trouble in the past with pornography on the internet or on some type of technology, either you get it completely under control, and there's some other things you can do that, and if you can't, don't use it. You say, that's harsh. I would rather be harsh than continue in my immorality, because that will kill your life. Kill your wife. It'll kill your family. It'll kill your marriage. It'll kill you. I'd rather kill that than kill my family. If you can't get something under control through getting help, ditch it. Just ditch it. Say, well, you've got to get it under control. Next, no matter what it is, set some guidelines. What are the guidelines? We mentioned some of them. Not having the computer in the open. Maybe password protected. And all these other things you can do to protect yourself from these things. Set up guidelines. I use technology. I have all the Apple products. I have the iPad. I use the apps. Evernote, you name it, I use that stuff. If it'll help me be more efficient, I'm in. But you got to be careful. You got to have guidelines. Be very, very careful. Set guidelines. Next, add in accountability. What's accountability? Accountability is, hey, can I look at your cell phone? Here it is. Take it. Read all the text. Look at all the music, whatever you want to do. Check the emails. You say, well, that breeds security. Have some accountability. When people are unaccountable, they become undisciplined. And so we can still be friends. Last thing is this, don't look for old friends. Now, you're looking for someone you went to Bible college with, okay. My old pastor, you know, this person I knew, you don't need to know what your old high school girlfriend's doing. I'm just hoping God blessed her. Stop. Really? Am I really that dumb? I'm really, come on. You may start out, but it's like, she still looks pretty good. And the way she talks on social media is not the same as you and your wife talk, because you don't live in the same house with her. You don't realize her husband's looking at his old girlfriend too. Be very careful about that. I know many stories of people, old relationships that got rekindled, and their current relationships were crushed because they got back in contact with them online. You do understand when you got married, you said forsaking all others, right? Well, I don't want my old girlfriend to think I'm rude. I care less if she thinks I'm rude. I don't need my old girlfriend. I got a new one. She's got a ring to prove it. And she's more important than anything else, and I don't need to know what so-and-so, who I saw 30 years ago. And you know what happens? Because the older you get, the more you live in the past. Things were so much better back then. No, there was a reason you broke up with him or her. Okay? And you just forgot. And by the way, that little thing in your mind, they probably don't look like that anymore. Okay? And you're not going to get together and hang out. No, you got things going on. But what happens is you start making your current relationships discontent. You get discontent with those, and you start looking for something new, and the flesh takes over. You say, oh, maybe there's just something wrong with you. No, there's something wrong with all of us. It's called the flesh. And we got to be careful and put guidelines in to say, flesh, sit down and be quiet. Be very careful. Like I said before, we're done. There's nothing in and of itself wrong with technology, but it can lead us to the things that are wrong if we don't control it. Don't let it control us. make sure we control it. And I'm telling you, you look at major problems that come my way, come through the church's way over the years, there's a high percentage of it in one way or another that involves technology. It just makes it easier for our flesh to get out of control. And we need to be very, very careful. Guard your heart and value your relationships you have now more than the technology and the social media and all the other stuff. Those are the important relationships. Let's stand together tonight.